It's chapter 13 this afternoon. Judges chapter 13, the birth of Samson. Strong one, I believe, literally. This isn't about Samson so much today, but Samson's mom. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not. Underlining her impossibility. But thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink. By the way, see the difference. There is a difference between wine and strong drink. Wine was the fruit of the vine, the strong drink was the fermented. And God forbids the strong drink, not the fruit of the vine. Eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh out of the vine, neither let her drink wine nor strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended into the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. Behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion, and he took thereof in his hands, and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. And this is the reading from God's Word. This godly woman has down through the ages been known as either Manoah's wife or Samson's mother. God was content to leave her anonymous. She represents most godly mothers who will ever live, unknown and yet well known. Of the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, it's not so much that she's known, it even says her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Behind every good man is a good woman. Content to leave an example to other mothers and hopefully to leave godly children behind them. So we have this, if you will, revelation of an unsung godly mother. A salute to the unsung godly mothers today. That fits on the internet page, a longer title is in your bulletin this morning, A Salute to the Unsung Heroines of Motherhood. But we'll be content with a salute to the unsung godly mothers today. The Lord gives us biographies in His Word, another form of teaching us His will, another form of teaching us what kind of character, what kind of behavior we should possess as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Samson had a good beginning. And may I say he had a good end. We're saddened by the middle of his life. We're saddened by what seems to go between. But before we dismiss Samson altogether, we can thank the Lord that he had a good beginning and thank the Lord he had a good end. We should always be praying for a good beginning, salvation, and a good beginning to our Christian lives. And we should always be praying for a godly ending, that we end well as begin well. But the challenge is certainly in the years between, isn't it? In the midst of the years. It was Delilah that did him in. Beware of the Delilahs. Yes, Samson gave in to the temptation. But the devil has many Delilahs out there. Samson had a godly mother and, of course, a godly father that God used to give him a good start and to remind him to have a good ending. But I want us to focus on his unsung, his anonymous mother. And to note the godly characteristics of Samson's mother and to salute the Christian mother who adopts these as her own, and to pray God's richest blessings upon them. And those of us who aren't mothers and aren't women, I hope will not think that we're altogether left out, because it's really universal in its application of these characteristics, that God, through this biography, would remind us to possess ourselves. As we look at an overview of this woman's life, what does the Lord reveal to us as far as the important or the outstanding characteristics, Christ-like characteristics in her? I think we would say, firstly, that she had a listening ear to the Word of God. She didn't dismiss this message that God brought to her. And indeed, it was the Lord. It wasn't, though it says an angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, this was not an angel, for we're told in verse 3 it is an angel of the Lord, but in verse 22, Manoah correctly says, we have seen God. And so this person was a pre-incarnate appearance of the Son of God. This is the Son of God taking a form of a man or a form of an angel, a messenger, and speaking to this woman. I mean, I think again of the Lord's condescension to us to speak to us, but he didn't speak to the man primarily. He spoke to the woman who was barren, was not having borne any children. But the example here is that godly women hear God's word. It's interesting how she wouldn't go on to say, I'm too old. God certainly granted her great faith. She heard. There's no complaint here. There's no sarcasm. And may I say, there are opportunities that abound for us to hear God's word. This came through a vision. But you and I have the Bible in written form. This is the 400th anniversary, by the way, of the writing of the Authorized Version. How privileged we are. The King James Version, the Authorized Version, came out in 1611 and it is now 2011. God has given us this prized English translation of the Scriptures for 400 years now. What a privilege we have. Are we listening to what the Bible says? She was told to beware, to observe. The same words, by the way, in verses 13 and 14, two different English words. Let her be watchful. Let her be careful to hear and to do all that is conveyed to her. And the obvious things to us were no wine or strong drink and no unclean thing. And if we reduce it, she needs to be a woman of wisdom. Nothing should block her senses, should make her judgment unclear. And she needs to be a holy individual. Wisdom, no wine or strong drink. Holiness, no unclean thing. A woman who is holy, who walks in wisdom. A godly woman, may I say, hears God's word. This is a woman to look for a prospect in marriage, that she's receptive to the word of God, that she reads the scriptures, that she loves to hear the scriptures preached, that she isn't making excuses, that she isn't allowing her devotion to the Lord to suffer. Her worship of God, privately or publicly, that those are priorities. That when you meet an individual, that those things are absolutely priorities in her life or his life. They don't allow anything to come in the way of their worship of God and their consideration of God's Word. Manoah's wife and Samson's mother was a woman of the Word. She listened to the Word that God brought to her. Secondly, you see that she, and this characterizes every godly mother and every godly person, a loving submission, as far as a mother's concerned, to her husband. Do you notice that both times that she had a message from God, she immediately went to her husband? Verse 6, then the woman came and told her husband. Verse 10, and the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband. There's something being conveyed by that. Do you notice this is what Eve should have done? Eve's deadly omission was that she didn't go to her husband when the message came to her. Obviously, in her case, it was an obvious conflict of what Adam had conveyed, what God had conveyed to them, not to touch or eat of that particular tree. And she stood on her own. She didn't appeal to her husband. And here's a woman that could have been proud. You know, God has spoken to me. A man of God has come and taken an individualistic stance. But I sense in her a humility, a sense of her place in the will of God, that she comes to consult indeed with her husband. Is this indeed a man of God? She doesn't want to leave him out of any blessing that she has. You see, submission is not, the world wants us to think that submission is a weakness, is a weak characteristic. Submission is a spiritual exercise. It takes the Holy Spirit for proud man and proud woman to humble ourselves. The Lord Jesus came to do His Father's will. He was submissive to His Father. He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death. And a godly mother is represented as one who has a loving submission to her husband. There can only be one leader in the home, one leader, and God has ordained the husband, the man, to lead the home. And it's such an example to children when the mother submits. The mother may be wiser. The mother may be reading more Scripture. It was interesting, again, that God appeared to her, and yet she sees her place in the kingdom of God. And the children need to see this. She defers to her husband. She loves her husband. She submits to him. She honors him. And they see that she recognizes that he's the leader, and she conveys that to her children. Your father is the leader of this home. This is the will of God. And then, again, she's the one that received the message. She's the one that seemed to have more discernment of spiritual things. And yet she is submitting to her husband. Indeed, she was a spiritual woman to take her place in the kingdom of God. We need more godly women who submit to their husbands and set that example to their daughters to be the appropriate wives in the future, to show the world a Christ-like spirit, submission. Christ came and was submitted to God. And the church is submissive to Christ. And it shows the world when we have mothers who take their places in our homes that the world is all wrong in having an individualistic, arrogant spirit that everyone is out for number one. The world needs to see the kind of home that reflects the Church of Jesus Christ submitting to her Lord. Thirdly, you find that her reception to the Word and her right relationship with her husband was what prepared her to have a serious concern about raising her child, or in many cases, our children, properly for the Lord. And that's what we see outstanding here. She had a concern. Now, I know the man of God says in verse 8, teach us. But I wonder as I read through this that she must have been in the background. It seems like every time she's the one encouraging the husband to do something. And this is what happens with a godly, submissive wife, that she doesn't want to take the credit. You go and talk to the man of God. You go and pray. And this is what I find. I wonder if she put the words in his mouth and he's praying this to the Lord, but how she was an encouragement to him. But notice how, although he does say, teach us, he's including his wife, which means that she was fully consenting to that desire and that prayer. It reflected the desire of her heart. I want to be teachable. I want to be able to bring up our son properly. And this should always be the concern of a godly mother. Though it was Manoah that was praying, she certainly concurred. He didn't say, teach me. He knew that she was fully interested. She was seriously concerned about raising Samson properly. What shall we do unto the child? There's parental guidance. And we should never cease to pray that. We should never think we've arrived at being a guide, a parental guide. Lord, help me. Every day we should see how desperate we really are with all the temptations that our children face and all the different avenues that pull at them for their time and for their heart and for their minds. Lord, give me wisdom to guide my children. May we always be concerned not only about their salvation, but their growth, their separation, their holiness. Verse 14. God said, all that I have commanded her, let her be watchful, let her observe. That God's word is always the standard of her life and of her instruction. And may I say, a godly woman is careful herself to be obedient to God. It's not just, I'm concerned about my child. For the child will see the conflict. And the Lord Jesus said of the Pharisees, do what they tell you, but don't do after their example. Where a godly mother says, it's not just what I tell you, but what I'm telling you, I have practiced myself. I'm warning you about too much time in amusement, but you see a mother that's not spending too much time in amusement. I'm concerned that you be a prayerful person, but you know I'm concerned about being a prayerful person. Are you reading God's Word regularly? For we can't live by bread alone. And Mom, I know that you read God's Word regularly. I know that that's your sentiment. You and I will be most effective in parenting if we're first an example ourselves. All that I commanded her, let her be watchful. Samson needs to see a mother who isn't just telling it out. She's living it out. She's living what she says. She's a living example of her teaching. Thank God for our sisters who are seeking to live an example before their mouth is opening with instruction. Their lives have already spoken loudly. Verse 12, how shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? There's two things here. First of all, there's ordering. But then the second word is, how shall we do as far as his undertaking? She was concerned about authority, being an authority, but she was also concerned about his life, his righteousness. So there's two things. How shall we order the child? This means the parent is not the child's equal in the sense that she's just a buddy, but she is an authority. She's the mother. She is, and the father are the ones that are doing the ordering, the judging, making the decisions, laying down the laws of the home. We're finding today that they're advocating a family where there's no authoritative figure. And like it is in America and in many countries, how much the parents submit to the children. How shall we order the child? It's not how the child shall order us. Children need parents that are in authority, not with a dictatorial authority, but a godly, wise, loving authority. For I know Abraham, God says, that he will command his children and his household after him. Abraham will be a man, not a man that is a dictator, but a man who knows that it's his responsibility to lead. A man who orders his family, who sets the rules. Of course, we need to take wisdom from God, how the Lord gave us a minimal amount of rules, didn't he? He summarizes all of his commandments to 10. Just 10. I think sometimes when we multiply the rules, we confuse our children. And it's like the counselors say, when they're really young, you minimize the rules. And they get a little longer, a little more as they get older. The Lord even reduced his rules down to 2, to love him with all of our heart and to love our neighbors, ourselves. How shall we order the child? Parents should be ordering. Parents should be commanding. Parents should be firm and consistent. Children should know their boundaries. There's no doubt about what we're going to do on the Lord's Day. There's no doubt about what we're going to do at the prayer meeting times. There's no doubt what we're going to do at night. We're going to have the Word of God is going to be opened. There's no doubt about what decision my father is going to make about this. Parents should be predictable. I know what my dad's going to say about this. I know what my mom's going to say about this. There's no reason to go and consult them. They do right. They want to do right. And should be a common knowledge among your friends. They know your parents are going to decide things according to the truth. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? Literally, what about his undertaking? In other words, they were concerned about the righteousness of Samson. They were not only concerned about their righteousness, but the righteousness of their son. They were concerned about his right character and his right behavior. They were concerned about his obedience to God. So this woman had a serious concern about raising her child properly for the Lord. And every day we should be on our faces as parents. Lord, help. Help. As our children grow, help, Lord. Help us to have wisdom. Help us to have love. Help us to have consistency. But Lord, bless our children. Lord, give them a desire from the heart to be obedient. Give them a hunger for your word. Give them a hatred of sin. Give them a consistency in their life. Let them have priorities, that nothing will sway them from the priorities of their lives. Don't let them get away from your word. Don't let them get away from the prayer closets. Don't let them start to minimize the public worship. Don't let them, Lord, adopt priorities that are worldly, that are temporal. Oh God, make them godly men and women. We need godly sons and daughters that are able to speak with their enemies in the gates, that can testify to people what grace is, what righteousness is, what sin is, what truth is. That they can detect truth from error and error from truth. Do you have a serious concern about raising your children properly for the Lord? We had one go at it, brother and sister. Are we going to stand before God and see our children on the right hand of the Lord? How woeful it would be to have a child point and say, "You didn't care. You cared more about your life. You cared more about your things. You let me by. You didn't rebuke me for my sins. You didn't encourage me in doing right." It's time for us to develop a serious concern for the raising of our children. And you know, the last two things just seem to be a continuation of the first. The fourth characteristic is She had an educated faith in an atoning Savior and a reconciled God. In other words, it really is that she just developed her concern, her listening ear to the Word of God. It's really nothing necessarily different. But notice her answer. Her husband seemed to be in the dark. He was terrified by the presence of God. And he says, "We're going to die because we've seen God." And she says, whoa, wait a minute. We're not dead yet. And his wife said unto him, notice her understanding, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he wouldn't have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things. Nor would it, as at this time, have told us such things as these. In other words, this woman had an educated faith in an atoning Savior and a reconciled God. She didn't have a terrifying faith. She didn't have a faith that cowered. Her faith had grown, had been educated in the truth. Look, the burnt offering speaks of Christ offering Himself for us. She said, look, there's a substitute for us. God has accepted a substitute. He won't kill us. God accepts a substitutionary atonement in our place. We deserve His wrath. But the sacrifice speaks of one who's going to come for us. God receives us. This is speaking of the atonement of Christ. A godly woman seeks to educate her faith, seeks to be a woman of faith, a woman of having prayers that are full of faith, that plead the blood of Christ, that knows she has access to the throne of grace because of Christ. And the meat offering speaks more than just we're accepted, but we're brought into fellowship with God. It's not just we're accepted and we're at a distance from God. He not only brings us into His family, He brings us right to His feet. And the meat offering speaks of God. Remember, we just listened to that message before the Lord's table last week. God eating with us and us eating with God. Fellowship at His table. And she said, look, He accepted this meat offering. He ate with us today. He fellowshiped with us today. He's not going to kill us. He loves us. Look, He showed us all these things. And I think this refers to Him doing wondrously, verse 19. He showed us His glory. He's not going to destroy us. And then He told us such things. And I think she's referring to, He gave us wisdom on how to be parents. How to direct Samson, or the son that's going to be born. Look, God is for us. God is a sacrifice for us. God is fellowshipping with us. He loves us. The Lord is showing us His glory. That means He's reconciled to us. He's no longer angry with us. We're not to be cowards. We're not to have cowardly faith. He's giving us wisdom to live. He cares for us. What a wise woman. What a godly woman. What a woman who sought to understand the Scriptures and to go on with God. We salute you ladies who want to study the Word. You want to listen intently. You want to go on with the Lord. You want an educated faith. You want to grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You want to stop us when we make statements that are illogical and insensible and wrong. What a blessing it is to be corrected by our wives. Whenever it happens. And it happens. Thank the Lord for in our devotions. Wait a minute. Don't you think maybe that's going down the wrong path? And I'm not trying to give you the sense that this is always going on in our devotional times. But you know, we should be willing to be corrected. If our understanding is a slavish fear of God, or an improper view of the Lord, or a wrong application of Scripture. We should welcome that. What are we afraid? Are we afraid of people studying the Bible? Are we afraid of people going on with God? It'll expose a preacher that may not be going on with God, or a husband that may not be going on with God, or vice versa. But that's the wonder of a Bible-believing church. We have Bibles that are open. Paul preached, and did he rebuke the Bereans for searching the Scriptures to see whether those things were so? Wait a minute, I'm an apostle. You do what I tell you. You don't have to search what I have to say. I'm sure Paul was there to say, what a blessing. And Paul could go to these churches and be challenged. And he welcomed the challenge. He needed to grow. They were iron sharpening him as well as him being iron to sharpen their hearts and their countenances. Look, I need to grow. There are things that you've seen in the Scriptures that I haven't. Share them with me. Let's be a blessing to one another. Use our gifts to encourage each other. A bold faith this woman had, yet it was a reverent faith. It was a submissive thing. I don't sense at all that she was saying this in any disrespectful way, in any demeaning way to her husband. She wasn't being sarcastic to him. I believe that he took her admonition, her encouragement well. And the fifth and last thing I see is a continuation of what I said earlier. A continuing concern for the holiness of growing children or grown children. We find, look at chapter 14. They were an absentee parents. They didn't say, well, now he's a teenager, he's on his own. We imagine at this time that he's probably a teenager, maybe he's in his early 20s. Now here's the exception that proves the rule that we ought never to marry outside the kingdom of God. It was of God in this case that he chose this Philistine lady. And when he expresses his desire for this woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines, his parents, his father, and his mother. Thank God when there's agreement, when there's concern. But notice, this is a continuing concern. This is a continuation of their previous concern. How many years ago? 15 years ago? 20 years ago? Lord, how do we order him? Lord, what will be his undertaking? Please make him to be a righteous man. Make him to be a godly teenager when he gets that age. But now they see that he's wanting a wife that's a heathen wife. And oh, how burdened they were. Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Do you have a continuing concern for the holiness of your grown children? When they leave home, does your concern end? Do you notice that when the man appeared, he said he'll be, this child should be a Nazarite from the womb to the day of his death. You be concerned for that young man's holiness to the day he dies. And though some things change, and when he gets a wife, there's a new structure, and we have to defer to that, yet we never cease to be parents. When they get married, when they get older, we're concerned from the womb to the day of their death. And of course, who they should marry. And you should thank parents that are together. Sometimes our children think that we gang up on them. But thank God for parents that walk together in agreement. When we remonstrate our children for considering a heathen wife or a heathen husband, or someone that doesn't care for the things of God, a sloppy Christian, whoever it be that we're concerned that you marry in the will of God. Beware of the world. And beware of those who mix with the world. They're not the kind of spouses to have either. You want one who stands apart for God. That's separate unto the Lord. And Samson, you be a man that's consistent for the rest of your life. They did what they could, I think. You know what's conspicuously absent in chapter 16? When he goes after the harlot and Delilah, conspicuously absent are his parents now. Whether he didn't consult them or they're dead. I suppose it was probably the latter. Because it seems to me, since she was barren and had not born, that the Scripture's recording probably a woman that was an older woman, though it's not said that. The fact is not just that she was barren, but that she didn't bear. In other words, there was time that it elapsed to show that she was indeed barren. But be that as it may, I know that it, between the lines, that they were concerned if they'd have heard. You notice that Samson didn't tell them some things. He knew that they were godly. He knew what he would, if he'd have told them, for instance, that he had touched the carcass to give them honey, they'd have never taken that honey. He knew his parents were godly, that they wouldn't do wrong by the grace of God. Thank God for mothers that will not succumb to the temptation even of their children. And how often we can be stumbling blocks to our spouses and our children can be stumbling blocks to us. Oh, do a little bit of this. Dab a little bit in that. But all it takes is a little bit. That's what happened in Samson's life. He gave in a little. He gave a little more. And at first you didn't see that he was lacking power. And still he wasn't lacking power. He kept giving in more and more and more and more. Finally it bit him and it killed him. His lust got to him. It may not get to you the first time, the second time, the third time. You think, well, I'm getting away with it, and I'm getting away with it, I'm getting away with it. Finally, you bit the hook, and the devil yanks at that hook. God is long-suffering, but sin, your sin will find you out. Your clicks on the internet, your turning of those pages, your sin will find you out. Parents, we should have a continuing concern for the holiness of our children. To the day of their death, we won't cease praying for you. And if we see you going the wrong direction, we're going to warn you. We're going to call you. We're going to write you. We're going to text you. We're going to email you. We're going to cry. We're going to plead. We're going to laugh with you. We're going to rejoice with you. We're not going to let you go. God gave you to us. You're our jewels. And it's an amazing thing of the grace of God that Samson is still one of the men in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. And you know, what we see in Samson's life took place in a matter of months. But we don't give him enough credit because he lived years. God does give him some credit. There's grace in there. But I see that godly parenting was such an influence on his life. And may I say, parenting does not stop with the wedding. In many ways, it just begins. Counseling, crying, rejoicing, pleading. It is telling on Samson, but I think it tells on his respect and his love and his understanding of his parents that he hid that from and what he did with that carcass. But I think you our sons and daughters know that those things, you don't want to break our hearts. May we say, let not that be your primary concern, but that you grieve and quench the Holy Spirit when you do things deceitfully or behind the scenes that you know are wrong. Thou God seest me. Don't break command against the love of God. Yes, we hate to see our parents grieved. And I'll never forget my father and mother. And I think it was especially my mother, because I knew my father and the kind of life sometimes. But I can remember when my father and mother looked at me as a drunk on my back on the sidewalk. It was enough of a sting to see my dad, but then to see my mom come off that landing and then around and to see her face looking through that screen door. That's, look at him. Look at him. 2 o'clock in the morning, look at him. It stung me like nothing to see my dad and my mom staring at me. It's a drunk. God sees. We sin against His love. I thank God for those factors. You know, when we're tempted to sin, how many things come into our life? The Word of God, grieving the Spirit. But you know, He also brings in there, your parents have spent their lives to bring you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They want to see you stand before God and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He wants you to marry a godly woman, a godly man, so that you'll be happy and you'll serve the Lord. And if we see it's improper, we will warn you because we seek the best for you. We have prayed, Lord, how shall we order the child? What shall we do unto him, unto her? A salute today to the unsung godly mothers. Where would we be as husbands and fathers without a godly mother to support us? Who agreed with us, and when we were gone so many hours of the day, we knew that behind our backs they were supporting us, doing God's will and setting an example in the homes. And what does it say in Proverbs? He has no need to spoil. She's faithful. He doesn't have to worry about her being unfaithful. He doesn't have to worry about how she's going to raise the children. They've communicated. Their hearts are one. We need more godly mothers. We need more godly families. The world needs to see godly families, godly mothers. The world doesn't need any more additions to feminine anonymous. The world needs to see godly mothers. Like Manoah's wife, and Samson's mother. It was God's grace in her life. And Samson could rise up and say, my mother's blessed. If we could talk to Samson today, he would say, what a blessing I had. A mother that loved me, like Timothy's mother, brought me up on her knee with the Word of God, warned me about sin, encouraged me in righteousness, kept at me all my life. I wonder if Samson had his eyes put out and was grinding in the dungeons of the Philistines if he thought, only if I'd have listened to my mother. But he took heart as his hair began to grow, and he remembered his mother's teaching that God is a God of forgiveness. And a God who's reconciled. And Samson said, one more time, Lord. Let me die now. But Lord, let me be used of Thee in these last moments. Do you think he was thinking of his mother's faith, his mother's God, his mother's teaching? God is a forgiving God. He's accepted our burnt offerings and our meat offerings. Now, Lord, bless me. Renew my strength. And bless me in my death. And more Philistines were slain in his death than they were slain in his lifetime. He had a good ending. God blessed his mother, answered her prayers, fulfilled her wishes. He went to see the Lord, but he also went to see his mom and his dad in heaven. A salute to the unsung godly mothers. Keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. Be that godly woman if you're not. A right relationship to the Word, a submission to your husband, a concern for your children, an educated understanding of the Word, a continuing concern to the day of their death. The world is not worthy of such moms and women, but the world needs such examples. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Gracious Father, thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Lord, for mothers that know thee and love thee. Wives and sisters in the Lord. Lord, make us all these kind of believers that reflect thee in this world, that loves souls and hates sin. Fear God. Yield our lives, the only life we have, the only time that is allotted to us, to serve the Lord. Please, Lord, heal families and churches. Save women, Lord, from the world and make them godly sisters and wives and mothers. Fill our ladies with your Spirit. Make them witnesses for the Savior. Bless our homes, Lord, that there would be righteousness and holiness, that our sons and daughters, from the womb to the days of their dying, of their deaths, may live for Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you're able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.